Agenda item number 11, offenders. Mr. Cimino. What's the first case?
First case is Mr. James C. Keeling.
1 second, please. Is Mr. Keeling present? Please come forward, sir. Let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Keeling. Mr. Cimino, please proceed.
Yes. Mr. James C. Keeling, a commercial fisherman registration licensee, had four convictions on two separate dates in 1 year, one count of giving a false statement altering a fishing license on August 31st, 2015, one count of taking oysters out of season on May 28th, 2015, one count of removing oysters from a condemned area without a proper permit on May 28th, 2015, and one count of failure to have an approved receptacle for sewage disposal on board an oyster harvesting vessel, also on May 28th, 2015. I'll turn it over to the officer.
Officer Morris. I don't believe you were present this morning here. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Officer, Senior Officer Mike Morris. The basis for the first few summonses were for violations that occurred in Suffolk, in Bennett's Creek, just off the Nansemond River. Mr. Keeling was found working a dredge boat in that area, very close to his private oyster ground, but not on his private oyster ground. And on that date, I found, when I found him adjacent to the yacht club or the clubhouse in that area of Bennett's Creek Park or Bennett's Creek Point Landing, I asked him for his permit, and he produced one, but it was for a different boat. And he was working condemned area at the time, and I took him, or I had him take those to his clean bottom and put them on his clean bottom, as was the practice. And went ahead and just issued the summons for the permit violation. On further investigation, I found out he was not working his private ground or the private ground that the permit was for, and that he was on public unassigned ground at that time. And further investigation showed that he did not have a waste receptacle on the boat, as well as taking oysters out of season. And I did charge him with the theft of oysters, as well as the felony of not having the proper permit. All of those were reduced so that he didn't have felonies on his record through a plea agreement with he and his counsel and the Commonwealth attorney. And he pled guilty to the three charges you see in front of you, and received the minimum fines, as well as I believe it was 90 days in jail that was suspended for 2 years good behavior. Later on, this took place in July of 2000, and I'm sorry, lost my place here on the date of offense, but anyhow,
August 4th?
Yes, that's correct. And then, no, that August 4th was in Newport News, July 30th. Was the first violation. And then and on August 4th, He came into operations to complain that I was harassing him, as well as to get a permit that would be proper. And he saw Officer Clifton, and Officer Clifton asked to see the permit that was in question, and he was shown a permit that had two boat numbers, as well as some of the written verbiage that I had written on it originally, scratched out, officially forging that document. Rather than him being found guilty of a forgery and a felony on that, there was a plea agreement in Newport News, and he was it was reduced to a false statement or altering a fishing license, and he pled guilty to that. Mr. Keeling was very cooperative. I had no problems with him at any of the times that I was dealing with him, and over a majority of the time that I've known him. I've known him for the past 40 years in my career working here.
Does the commission have any questions of Officer Morris? Thank you. Mike, please stand by.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Keeling.
Well, Mr. Keeling has asked me, I'm Johnny Cope.
Mr. Cope, welcome.
Speaking on his behalf, and let me just address him as you asked him. And he's also got Mr. Petlow's here to speak on his behalf as well, who represented Mr. Keeling over in Suffolk, and I represented him over in Newport News, and he's asked me to speak today. And of course, we're here pursuant to...
Mr. Cope, 1 second, please.
Yes, sir.
Let the record reflect Mr. Keeling is represented by Mr.
Johnny Cope.
Johnny Cope.
C-O-P-E.
Yes. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Let me first, just as Officer Moore said, Mr. Keeling's been at this a long time. Tell you a little bit about him. He's 62 years old. He's been working on the water for 42 years. He's been married 38 years. He's got a wife. He is the sole supporter of his family. He and his wife live together, have a home in Suffolk, has a mortgage on it, $851 a month mortgage. He and his wife have raised two children. Both have grown. Both have gone to college, and they've done it on Mr. Keeling's, basically his work in the water. They are both gainfully employed as children. As Mr. Morris... Officer Morris, I'm sorry, indicated he was certainly cooperative with the officer during the course of these charges. The three charges that occurred in July of 2014 over in Suffolk, there was a dispute. It was a friendly dispute with the officer, but Mr. Keeling was using he has two boats, and he had a proper license for the boat that he wasn't using. And he told Officer Morris that he didn't realize that he had to have another permit for that boat. But the boat that he was using was working that day, and the other boat was not working. And so he took that boat out. And so technically he didn't have a permit to remove the oysters because the permit relates back to that boat, even though he had a permit for the other boat. Mr. Keeling apparently was a few feet, Mr. Morris can correct me if I'm wrong, very close to where his grounds were and where the public grounds were, and Mr. Morris felt, or Officer Morris, I keep saying Mr., I apologize, Officer Morris felt that he had strayed from his grounds over to the public grounds, and therefore the ticket for that. Had he been in the boat that the permit was issued to, had that boat been working, then I would suggest to you the other charges may not have lied or may not have resulted, but clearly on the sewage part, he had a 5-gallon bucket on his boat, but it did not have a top on it and did not have a seal top and did not have writing on it, waste, and that is required by the statute. So, yeah, he was guilty of that. Mr. Keeling told Officer Morse that he'd been doing this a long time and that he didn't realize that no one had ever written him up for taking oysters in the wrong boat before, and he didn't think he had to have that, but so be it. He got his ticket, and he went to complain, just as Officer Morris told you. to Mr. or Officer Clifton. And during the course of complaining that he felt like he shouldn't have got that ticket, Officer Clifton did, in fact, ask for his permit. And Mr. Keeling had written on the permit after he had had contact with Officer Morris, and I think it was important, he had written on the permit the number of his other boat, frankly, so he'd have the number, he could get another permit. And now these permits are free. I mean, they don't cost anything. All you got to do is ask and you get them. And the permit was not displayed to Officer Morris in the course of his investigation on the violations. It was given to Mr. Clifton as an after the fact, and I would assume, since it's a daily permit, it was no longer even valid for any boat at that point. It certainly wasn't an intent to deceive any officer. It wasn't shown in that regard. Now, that resulted, of course, in the fourth charge in Fort News, which was all of these misdemeanors. He is here asking that the commission consider not taking a license. Or if the commission is inclined to take a license, they do it solely for the oyster violations and allow him to fish the river, his gill nets and striped bass license. All the charges for which we stand here today are related to oysters, the four charges, and not to commercial gill fish net fishing. It all came down that this whole charge and the resulting cascade of problems Mr. Keeling's had from that one day, July 30th, 2014, when he had a permit but was not in the boat that matched the permit because that boat wasn't working that day. And then it just cascaded into where we are now. Now, in looking at Virginia Code Section 28.2, 232, the commission's required to consider three specific items in rendering whatever decision you render today as far as probation or revocation. And those three items are evidence of repeated or habitual disregard for conservation, health, safety laws, and regulations. Now, I got the notice to be here today, and it listed the four misdemeanors that Officer Morris has told you about. Three in one day, and one another day, all of which related to that fateful day of July 30th, 2014. So I would suggest to you, it really hasn't been a repeated or habitual disregard of the conservation of health. Number two, it says abusive conduct and behavior toward officers. Well, Officer Morris has been very candid with the commission. We certainly appreciate it, and he's told you that Mr. Keeling was cooperative with him and respectful to him. So he certainly does not fall astray to that part of the statute. And then the third one, the severity of any damages that occurred. Well, had he had been on his other boat, then the only charge we really would be facing today is where he strayed from his private grounds, and Officer Morris, again, was candid, just a small few feet over to the public, we wouldn't even be here today. And so I would suggest to you there was certainly no harm done or harm that could have done on the third criteria of the code section. And that's really what I wanted to say, and I wanted each of y'all to consider, notwithstanding the recommendation of staff, to not take this gentleman's license. It's been working on the water for all these years, 42 years, as a sole supporter of his family, and allow him to continue, if not oyster, at least to fish his gill nets.
Any questions from the commission? Do you have other witnesses you wish to present, Mr. Cope?
I was going to address the commission on the subject.
Please state your name for the record.
Joshua Pretlow.
Yes, sir.
An attorney in Suffolk. I've been practicing there since 1972. I had the opportunity to represent Mr. Keeling on the charges in Suffolk, and I would remind you of the same thing that Mr. Cope has reminded you. This all occurred in one morning on July the 30th, 2014, almost 2 years ago. And before Mr. Keeling even went out that morning, he called Mr. Morris in accord with the regulations to tell him he was going to be over there in Bennett's Creek on that ground getting oysters out to move to clean ground that he had in what's called Batten Bay. Some of you may be familiar with the names. But it's clean ground in the area of the between Chuckatuck Creek and the Nansman River in that area. He got the tickets. Won't go into that. He was in the wrong boat, as Mr. Cope has said. We went to court that first time. Mr. Morris, Officer Morris, was there. The General District Court, when Mr. Morris asked for a null pros, the court, having so much docket, did not do that of its own motion, sua sponte, said, nope, I'm just going to dismiss this and let it go. The court sees a lot of this sort of thing from time to time. The Commonwealth's attorney over there, or the assistant who was handling it, decided, okay, we're not going to let that fly. We're going to go after it some more, and they went after it. As Mr. Cope said, he had the five-gallon bucket. There was never any sewage disposed of in the water. That was not an issue. They just did not have the bucket. Additionally, he had a permit that allowed him to go into that area at that time to harvest and to haul, a permit that was issued by Officer Corey that permitted him to haul and to harvest in the Bennett's Creek area and send the oysters out from the polluted ground to the clean area in Baton Bay. That permit was good from June 24, 2014 through August 13, 2014. But as I said, the Commonwealth's attorney, and for whatever reason, they decided to come down on it. That, in talking with the Commonwealth's attorney, they prepared these huge exhibits that they got off of Google, 3x5 aerial photographs and all, to show that he had actually drifted approximately 54 feet over to the side of Bennett's Creek towards the banks in an area that is not marked and not claimed by anybody. Mr. Keelan had previously applied for that. The commission had not issued it because of some piers and stuff, ran straight lines down the creek. But there is no public ground in that area. The grounds are polluted, and he did have that problem. What I would tell you is he was not truly doing what this says. They wanted a certain amount of their flesh on this case, not talking about Mr. Morris, but the Commonwealth's attorneys, because it was brought in Suffolk. There was no disposal. He was removing oysters from condemned ground, and as Officer Morris said, he told him to go ahead and go plant them. He didn't tell him to dump them, throw them away, as he is permitted to do under the regulations at that time. And he was technically not taking oysters out of season, and he was not taking them from public ground. There's no public ground inward on Bennett's Creek if you look at your maps. Therefore, they wanted some convictions. These were the things that he said, I can live with these. I wasn't stealing oysters. I wasn't trying to do anything illegal at that point. He just did not take care of his paperwork on that permit. He went out in the wrong boat. I've known Mr. Keelan for all of his life. I knew his father. I knew his mother, who was a teacher in the school that I went to. His wife's mother was a teacher there also. Her husband was one of my best friends in the world. Her father was a pilot during World War II, shot down, was a POW, and later became an architect in life and died in the last couple of years, including her mother. They both died in the last few years, well up into their 90s. Very well thought of people in the community. I would urge you not to take his license, to allow him to continue to go with his taking care of his family and trying to be a good citizen, because I think he has tried to do that over the years. But the regulations, as each of you know, are highly technical, and they are there for a reason. I've been a substitute judge. I haven't just practiced law. I've done a lot of things in life, and I'm a businessman as well, but I practice law every single day, and I see these things, whether I'm sitting as a substitute judge that I did, or which I'm not any longer, but on the practice representing clients each and every day. Sometimes the technicalities are there. They're not met. He didn't meet the technicality that he needed to. The one would have been no problem, would not have been here. I think he's paid a more than a fair price with his convictions and all, and I would ask you to take Mr. Cope's recommendations. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
John.
Mr. Minor.
Yes, to both attorneys, trust me, I sympathize. I know what you're going through. Being from an area that I know what it means to survive and how to work hard. But are you aware that there are 16 prior convictions?
Am I?
Yes,
yes sir.
You all are aware of that?
I've looked at the list of what they are and so forth. Yes, sir. And not to go through each one of them, but I noticed as you look at them, a lot of them were just dismissals, guilty in $25 and $30 fines. they're minor infractions, and I've seen people come in with three and four driving with suspended permits. And my attitude has always been, and the court's attitude is, let's try to get them to get a license. Let's not just keep putting them in jail for 90 days at the time and persecuting their families and persecuting them and taking their jobs from them.
Judge Caesar.
Mr. Pertlow, Mr. Cope, I appreciate you coming here. I appreciate your presentation.
Nice to see you.
Okay. Were you aware that Mr. Keeling was on probation from February 25, 2014 through February 24, 2016?
I was not at the time that I took these cases. I later became aware of it, but he understood. He thought that it was 1 year.
I understand.
It was 1 year, not 2 years.
He was under the mistaken impression, apparently, that it was 1 year probation and not two, is what he told me as well.
Right. And so we're here making a decision on the fact not only of these charges that you're talking about, but the fact that he violated the probation. Y'all aware of that?
Assuming it was a two-year probation, that's clearly the case. Yes, sir.
There's nothing shown in the public record here that shows us that, other than that it says that he's been on a two-year probation. There was no letter or anything to show that it had actually been instituted in what you have in your public record in front of me, unless I've misread it all.
Mr. Commissioner, do we have a staff that can address that issue?
Going out the door right now.
And I guess I got to bring a point that these violations.
Position to dispute it. It's not in this record.
This was within 6 months of putting him in probation. So the 2 year deal wasn't even a factor.
Okay. The other thing on September 30th, 2013. Show a conviction for commercially taking oysters without shade in accordance with warm water harvest regulations. Do the council understand the health issues with that particular charge, as well as taking oysters from a condemned area, the health issue involved?
The health issue, yes, sir, I absolutely do, and that's why he was moving the oysters. And also understand the shade, as you know, I am a principle in having a large oyster roast, and we generally cook 150 to 180 bushels of oysters in 2 hours, and we use guns to watch them when they get there and the entire time and keep them refrigerated, and we do that several times a year. And so, yes, sir, I am well aware of that, and to the point that the health department does not check upon that on a regular basis on us. They used to come and watch us, but
I agree
they don't even come to check us anymore. And knock on wood, we have never had a problem in 38 years in one oyster roast and over 20, about 15 to 17 in the other oyster roast with any health issues. And so I'm very well aware. I'm very conscious of that completely. Yes, sir.
And I agree with you 100% there. The significance to the commission of these kind of charges is a big problem with us, because if somebody gets sick from one of those oysters, it can not only destroy his career, but all the health, all the people in the Tidewater. And as you know, this commission last year, there was over 600,000 bushels of oysters harvested, and it's millions of dollars of revenue. So when we're looking at what you're saying and everything, we're also considering the fact that these other oyster watermen and everything out there, their license is in jeopardy, as well as your my health, as well as that oyster roast you got.
Well aware of that, Mr. Zedrin.
Thank you.
Before we move on here, let me double back here so we set the record straight here. I have in my hand here a letter dated February 26th of 2014 that informs Mr. Keeling here that the commission had voted to place him on probation for a period of 2 years to begin February 25th of 2014 and to end on February 25th of 2016. And this is signed by Mr. Keeling. Counsel, would you like to review this?
I'd just like to see it, that's all.
Certainly.
I don't dispute it at all.
I just didn't want the record clogged up with something that really wasn't pertinent.
No, sir, I don't want to do that. Just for commercially taking oysters between sunset and sunrise and no shading.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I've seen those charges in there.
Thank you, sir. Mr. France.
Yeah, my question would be, how is it determined that he was 54 feet from the line? I mean, that's about the distance between here to the door back there. How's that determined?
You asking me the question?
Well, Mr. Morris, Officer Morris would be the one to respond to that, but I mean, it's a matter of, I'm sure, his training.
Officer Morris?
Yes, sir.
Would you please answer the question?
Yes, sir. It has not been explained by myself or by counsel, but Mr. Keeling was found at that dockhouse, boat club at the clubhouse there, and he was inside of a T-formed pier for the yachts that tie up at that. And there was no drifting into that area. Of course, the tide washes up and down the creek, not side to side. And Mr. Keeling was operating a dredge boat, contrary to what the permit would allow. He was permitted on the permit he had for tonguing oysters or dredging in clean bottom in another area of the James. Mr. Keeling was working in a constrained area between the pier and the shore, and he was circling his dredge boat, which I watched for a few times that he would pull the scrape in and dump it and put it empty back on the bottom. And he was working on a daily permit, but also a permit that covered that boat to leave the dock and to take that dredge go out to dredge oysters. When it's in a condemned area, it makes it more susceptible to our scrutiny, because a dredge can catch a whole lot more than the tonguing operation. And up until this time, the only boat I saw him on working polluted oysters was a tong boat. There was no dredge, there was no mast and boom, which it was in the boat that I caught him in that day. And in measuring that, I did it by eye and photograph, but then I took that information back because he was working in circles, as it would be for circling to pull a dredge. And we took to the engineers the center of that circle, and that was where it was determined he was 54 feet outside of any private ground. His was outside of the piers, but he was in an area which was unassigned public bottom, and because of the pier. That's why that they don't assign ground for possibility of damage to the operator's boat or to piers and other boats tied to those piers.
Mr. France, do you have a follow-up?
No, sir.
But I think Officer Morris would agree that had he been 54 feet over, he wouldn't have been in violation. He would have been on his ground there.
He still would have been open to scrutiny, because I had had words that or had had information that he was operating a dredge, and I had not seen that.
Mr. Tacker.
Let me sure if I get this straight here. There wasn't any drifting possible. He's in between a dock, a T-head of a dock, and the shore. Is that what you're saying to me?
He was actually, the shore made one side of a horseshoe, the outgoing pier going out to the top of the T, closed that end in, and then another section, and then there was another pier down the way, which he was obviously between the ends of those two piers, and that's where the demarcation would run, is that the private ground would have to be on the east side and outside of those piers. And he was on the inside, very purposefully working inside of that. His comment to me on that day was, "What's the problem? I'm on my ground. I'm taking my oysters." But he was visibly shaken that day when I approached him.
So follow up.
Yes, attacker.
So the allegation by the attorneys here that there was some drifting is false.
There was the only drifting that would have taken place is if he had shut his motor off and not attached to the pier. He was actively motoring, which is what you have to do with a scrape or a dredge to catch the oysters.
Thank you.
This is Kellen.
Actually.
Mr. Erskine.
This question's for the attorneys. I think your testimony was you in your opinion, would not define Mr. Keeling as a habitual offender. And I also heard testimony that he's been on the water for 42 years.
Yes.
presumably in this area, and public ground lines have not changed in 42 years. And he has 16 prior convictions that we're aware of in this packet. So my question to the attorneys is, how would you then define a habitual offender?
Fair question, of course. I think they date back to 1998 up through the present, with the last charge being in 2013, about 2.5 years ago, when he got, again, another misdemeanor for starting to work, I think Mr. Morris, if he'll remember, about 2 minutes early in 2013, which resulted in the charge before sunset. This commission has seen a lot of charges by a lot of watermen, some of which are certainly more grievous than others, and I would suggest to you the charges that you see down there are not nearly as grievous as you've seen in other cases.
That's a follow-up, sir.
Mr. Erskine.
So I would also remind counsel and Mr. Keeling that he was on probation. That's been documented.
Yes.
So not only was he on the water for 42 years as a commercial waterman, he also knew he was on probation. So you would think, or I would think, I guess, that he would be extra cautious about some of these issues. I would also say that there is a warm water harvest health regulation violation. So what that means is that potentially, if there were an illness, a sickness in the state of Virginia, the entire oyster shellfish industry could be shut down. That seems pretty egregious to me.
You're talking about what occurred in 2013?
No. Well, and the receptacle, right, that was not properly capped nor labeled, that's also a violation.
So that he was not charged, he was just charged with not having it, but it was in fact uncapped. And you're talking about the time period for temperature, water temperatures and stuff. These oysters were being transferred, they were not being harvested.
This is the prior conviction on September 30th, 2013?
I don't know about that.
It's in our packet here. Commercially taken oysters without shade in accordance with warm water health harvest regulations.
Yeah, that's the last day you have to have an awning. Day before, my awning blew down, and I just went to work. There were two other boats right beside me with no awning. And that was the only day that I worked without an awning the whole summer. And you have to look. This guy is the only one that comes after me. Just one man now, 42 years.
Mr. Keeling, if you want to, testify, you're welcome to. Hold on 1 second here. Are there other questions from the commission? Please identify yourself, sir.
Adam Keeling, son of James Keeling.
Jim. Welcome, Mr. Keeling.
Thank you.
I do indeed. Thank you. Please. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
So help you God.
I do.
Please proceed.
You had mentioned, Mr. Erskine, about him being a habitual offender and thinking that he would be more cautious. There wasn't one afternoon or one day that I didn't see him that he didn't comment about the fact that he wanted to do right. He knows that all of these these regulations are very technical, and I agree, they're written for a reason. But he definitely was trying to be an upstanding citizen and follow the law to the best of his knowledge based on all of the rules that you guys have written. And sometimes, you know, when you look at the technicalities, I would argue that no one was injured, no one was harmed. And I understand that, you know, there's a fine line between, you know, letting someone off just for, you mentioned, 16 offenses, but they're all extremely minor. And I think it would be a great disservice to the community, to my family, to multiple families, to many people in this room who work on the water for a living, to take this man's license after he's been working as long as he has. And I think Mr. Morris, or Officer Morris, would also agree to that because I think he's been here for 4 years as well. So I just wanted to make sure that you did understand he was trying to follow every law as possible.
Mr. Erskine.
And I can appreciate your testimony, I understand. But it seems to be a habitual technicality that we're dealing with, right? It's the last day of this. It's this. I would suggest to you that Vibrio, which is a very serious illness, has a 50% death rate. So with no shading and the oysters heating up at the end of September, those regulations are in there for a reason.
I understand, and I would also counter that just a bit with saying if it's the day before that regulation goes out of effect or that close to something like probation being done in a couple of days here, there's a bit of a fine line there considering how close that is to when he would no longer be on probation or when that awning does not matter one day later. If it's in September and it's hot one day and I don't have an awning, and the next day I don't have an awning, does it really matter? Because the law was written for one specific day. Does that make sense? I mean, will I get sick one day and not the next?
Mr. Erskine.
Is that how you would explain it to somebody if they got ill?
No, sir.
Okay.
I would understand that they got ill, and it's a terrible, terrible event. However, if that awning was supposed to be up on the 30th, and it's no longer up on the 1st of October, maybe we had an 85-degree day on October, somebody could still get sick, and there are multiple people oystering without awnings. Think about that.
There's the follow-up, sir.
Questioning the law.
There is strict data and research that goes into this, lengthy data, amount of data, that goes into determining October 1st.
It's an arbitrary date. So. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, one at a time, please.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions from the commission of Mr. Keeling?
I have one more.
Mr. France.
You know, I'm just overheard what Mr. Keeling was saying off the cuff, but all these charges, these 16 previous charges, they're not all charges from Mr. Morris, are they?
No.
Mr. Keeling, I'm sorry. Please approach the microphone if you want to address the commission.
He was there when he writes me two or three tickets. If he has somebody, other officer, he gets the other officer to write it. He's there. He's the one. Just one man.
Mr. Keeling, let me ask. Why don't you say it? What are you implying?
He's always been after me for 30 years. Once we had a conference 30 years ago when I grabbed him, he's always been after me. He's always, I can be working to be 10 other boats around. He will come get me no matter what. And he's by himself, and he writes down. He can write down anything he wants. Anything he wants. And he can take you to court. He does not like me.
Mr. Keeling, may I ask, because the implication here is that you were wrongly singled out.
Yes.
Did you not, maybe I misunderstood this, did you not plead guilty to these charges?
I was stupid. My fault. I'm not real bright up here. I just work a lot.
They were not playing guilty pleas. They were offered pleas to settle the matter,
yeah,
get it out.
So yeah, I understand, Counselor, but is that not, in effect, a plea of guilt in the eyes of the law?
It's a plea for punishment purposes only, and it was an agreed punishment.
Okay. Counselors, do either of you have anyone else you wish to testify? Does the commission have any other questions? Mr. Cimino, would you please instruct us on what the staff recommendation is in this particular case?
Yes, sir. As has been noted, Mr. Keeling is currently on probation. It began on February 25th, 2014. These new violations occurred about 6 months after that and were adjudicated within, on May 28th and August 31st of 2015. The Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters during a closed public season or harvesting oysters from a condemned area within a 12-month period should result in at least a 2-year revocation on the offender's second commission appearance. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the Commission revoke all Mr. Keeling's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 2 years from the date of this Commission meeting, February 23, 2016, through February 22, 2018. Staff also recommends the Commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Keeling's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the Commission revoke Mr. Keeling's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this meeting, February 23, 2016, through February 22, 2018.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the testimony, you've heard the staff recommendation. What's the commission's will?
Just a comment. You know,
Mr. Neal.
The issues his son brought up were the reason we only gave him probation the last time. You know, and that's why, you know, normally the warm water stuff, we would revoke licenses, but we only issued a probation. And by my math, these offenses were like 5 months after he was put on probation. Which, I'm not happy with that. We see someone that knows him on probation, and 5 months later, we've already got more new offenses. That's my comment.
Any other discussion? The commission operates on motions. Mr. Packer.
Well, from what I can tell from the testimony from Mr. Morse, Officer Morse, he observed Mr. Keeling in a premeditated area or premeditated action, given the area that he was dredging. So I, when I remember or remind myself that this is 5 months after probation, I don't think we have any other way we can go if we're going to really be doing our job. I know that he may have been a good citizen, but unfortunately, we have the public safety to take care of. We have our industry to take care of. And so I would recommend or move staff recommendation.
It's a motion by Mr. Tankard here to accept the staff recommendation for a 2-year revocation period of licenses and tidal fishing privileges. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Is there further discussion on the motion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. Mr. Keeling, your licenses and your tidal fishing privileges are revoked for 2 years effective today. If you go with the deputy chief, he will give you a letter explaining your appeal rights. Thank you, Mr. Cope. Counselors. Thank you both for your very able representation. Mr. Cimino.
Next case is Mr. Jerry W. Ray.
It's Mr. Jerry W. Ray in the house. Please come forward, sir.
Mr. Jerry Ray, commercial fisherman registered.
1 second, Mr. Cimino.
Yes,
Mr. Ray, I'm going to swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to you as well, Officer Price?
I do, sir.
Please state your name for the record, Mr. Ray.
Wayne Ray, Jr.
Officer Price.
Good afternoon, Officer Price, Virginia Marine Police. In December 2014, members of the Virginia Marine Police Special Investigations Unit began targeting illegal shellfish harvester and processors in Pocosa, Virginia, complaints that we had received. On December 31st, 2014, an undercover officer initiated contact with Mr. Ray at his residence at 5 Ridge Road in the city of Pocosa. After speaking with him, Mr. Ray and the agent went into the garage area where the agent observed a shucking table, oyster shells, clams, and other items. They agreed on a purchase of 2 quarts of oysters for $40. Ray admitted to shucking the oysters the night previous. Ray also offered to sell the agent shucked clams for $15 a quart. Ray even went as far to tell the agent on this occasion that the officers were fresh and tells the agent, I would go to jail if I was caught selling them. When the agent asked Ray about that comment, he stated that he is not a he's not a proper licensed person to shuck oysters at his residence. that he was basically doing this so on the black market, off the record, but did tell him that the oysters were fresh. And on this date, further stated that he had sold as many or shucked as many as 200 quarts of oysters in a single year. After this transaction, they agreed to meet again at a later date on January 8, 2015, where the same undercover agent went to Mr. Ray's residence and purchased one quart of oysters for $20, as well as Mr. Ray giving him 25 clams on that day. The agent went there again on January 29, 2015, purchased two quarts of oysters and a quart of clams for $40. And on the last date, March 5th, 2015, the undercover agent went to his residence and purchased six quarts of oysters shucked and two bushels of whole oysters. During the course of these encounters, the oysters were stated to have come some from the York River and some from Back River. I do have photographs of these items if anybody's interested in looking at them here for each date. Mr. Ray was charged on March the 5th with violations from all of the dates, and I'll go through them. On the 31st, he was charged for failure to pay his oyster license fee. Again, on the offense date of the 31st, operating a shellfish establishment with no certificate. On January 8th, operating a shellfish establishment with no certificate. On January 8th, not paying his oyster user fee. January 8th, failing to affix a shellfish harvest tag to the oysters. January 29th, operating a shellfish establishment with no certificate. January 29th, failure to pay the oyster fee. March the 5th, failed to pay the oyster fee. March the 5th, failed to have a harvest tag on the shellfish. And again, on March 5th, operating a shellfish establishment with no certificate. After several continuances, this case finally went to trial on September 21st, 2015. Mr. Ray was represented by Mr. Ware, who was his defense attorney. And through an agreement with the Commonwealth Attorney in York County, Mr. Ray agreed to plead guilty to the December 31st operating a shellfish establishment without a permit. He received a fine of $500, and I believe he also got 6 months in jail with 6 months suspended with 5 years good behavior. The January 8th offense, failure to pay an oyster fee, again, it was a $500 fine. And on the January 8th, failed to attach a harvest tag on the shellfish, was again a $500 fine for a total of $1,500 in fines. Mr. Ray is a commercial waterman. We see him on a regular basis. He was a target of this investigation. And he was cooperative after the fact, once he was charged.
I didn't hear that. Officer, there was a charge on January 29th of 2015. Failure to pay the oyster user fee?
Yes, sir. That was a failed to pay, the oyster license fee for shucking, $28.94. Correct.
All right, Mr. Ray, 1 second here. Let me see if the commission has any questions of Officer Price. Does the commission have any questions of Officer Price? Mr. Tanker.
You mentioned he was the target of an investigation. What led you to target him for this investigation?
Well, I personally, along with another officer, had personally received information reference to Mr. Ray's shucking oysters at his residence prior to all this coming forward.
Okay.
And then our SIU unit took over and began their investigation.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Ray, this is your turn. Please step forward to the microphone. What would you like the commission to know, sir?
Hey, I made a mistake. I didn't shuck oysters for a living. I knew it was wrong, but the previous 200 quarts I was telling you know, the undercover officer was, that was over the past 10 years of me working, you know, working the water. I mean, that wasn't just last year. I mean, I only shot 10 quarts of oysters last year, and it happened to be, you know, he ended up getting 6 of the 10, you know. Once a month, my captain would, I'd take a bushel of oysters home just to shuck, so he would give them away. And if I had a quart left over, and, you know, and I mean, he was riding around, the undercover was riding around that day, and my father-in-law was leaving my house, and he purchased, I mean, he rode up to my father-in-law's house and asked if he knew anybody with any fresh oysters. And, you know, he just gave him my phone number. You know, he called me, and I had 2 quarts of oysters there that I'd left, you know, and he come by and purchased them. And today he come by to get the 1 quart, I think on a previous, a later date. I mean, he brought me a quart of moonshine, so, and I had 25 clams that was given to me, and I shucked them for him. And I gave him the shuck clams for the moonshine. I mean, I was, you know, my mother was dying, you know, in February, and, you know, he needed oysters for the church function, is what he told me. And, you know, with prayers and stuff needing, I mean, I was, you know, I was looking out for him. I mean, I wasn't doing it to make a living. I mean, I was making good money. I mean, working on a boat, and every oyster I took wasn't out of a condemned bottom. I mean, they wasn't picked up off the shore. They all come off the boat. I mean, and a tag, I had a tag for every oyster I brought home. My lawyer had that at the you know, the trial. And even for that day, I mean, I had a tag for these 2 bushels of oysters.
Mr. Ray, let me ask so that I understand what you're saying here. So the oysters that you sold to this undercover officer were actually given to you by some very good friend who likes to give away oysters and clams?
I didn't give them away. I mean, he didn't give them to me.
You didn't harvest these oysters?
I mean, the previous oysters I brought home off the boat, yeah, I mean, I'm working on another boat. I mean, I'm not captain, I'm crew. And he wanted a bunch of oysters shucked. I mean, I'd take them home and shuck them for him. You know, and if I had a quart left over, that one day I had 2 quarts left over, and, you know, and
did some of these oysters come from Back River?
Yeah, a private ground. They didn't come from off the shore. I mean, they put a tracking device on my truck from October until March 5th. I didn't have no evidence of showing where I was going somewhere and picking these oysters up. Yeah, I would come off the boat, either come from York River, Back River, the only 2 places that we were.
Okay, before I turn it over, Mr. Erskine, I have one last question, or hopefully last question here. You were represented by an attorney, and you pleaded guilty. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You now seem to be implying that you really didn't do anything wrong. If that's the case, why'd you plead guilty?
Well, I mean, because I had 10 charges. I mean, he didn't really point out exactly what I was being charged with until after I got this piece of paper. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I was wrong. I mean, I was wrong, but I need my license. I mean, put me on probation. I mean, I've learned my lesson. I mean, I've been checked 3 times this year. I mean,
Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Ray, I think you just testified, if I heard correctly, that the 200 quarts that the agent suggested was in the past single year, you just testified that it was over 10 years? So have you been doing this for 10 years?
No, I mean, I'm saying I've shucked over 200 quarts my life, not through the last year. I mean, that wasn't for the previous year. That was my whole life shucking oysters. I haven't been shucking oysters, I mean, since I started working the water.
As a follow-up, so I guess I'm unclear then. You've been selling them.
No, I haven't been selling them. I mean, I've shucked them. I mean, I haven't sold them. I mean, last year was the first time I've, you know, really sold many oysters, I mean, any oysters. I mean, I've shucked them to eat them. You know, my father-in-law, I mean, everybody in the family likes oysters. You know, I didn't ride around the road selling oysters. I mean, this guy bugged me, for 3 months. I mean, I ain't have time to shuck oysters. I mean, much less sell them.
As a last follow-up,
if
you were not intending on selling the shucked oyster and they were for personal consumption, why would you put them in a jar?
Because, I mean, I give them away. I mean, you give them away in a jar or a plastic cup. He gave me six jars. The only reason I had them in those jars. I mean, you have plastic containers. You know. I mean, my captain gives them away in pint jars, so, and some of them in sport jars. Just whatever he gets.
Thank you.
Mr. Zedrin.
My understanding of these three charges you pled guilty to, you received a fine of $500 on each charge. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
That's a total of $1,500. And on one charge, you received a 6 months jail with 6 months jail sentence suspended for 5 years. Is that right?
Yes.
If you didn't think anything was wrong, what was your position in court about getting put on probation for 5 years?
It's just what my lawyer told me. It was the best scenario. $500 and 5 years probation, pretty fine.
Don't you think that was, in your opinion, was kind of excessive for what you did?
Yes, sir. I do.
Thank you.
He put me in other categories with other people that were in court under this investigation. I mean, everything I was caught with, you know, come off my, you know, they weren't polluted. It was all off the boat and out of private ground or public ground. And I had a tag, you know, I had tags for every oyster I've ever brought off the boat.
Mr. Ray, I do have another question here. Did you or did you not tell the undercover officer that you knew what you were doing and that you would go to jail if you were caught? Well, that kind of, you know, implies to all of us here that you knew exactly what you were doing and that it was illegal. Do you disagree? Do you have anyone that you'd like to testify on your behalf? Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Cimino, what is the staff recommendation in this matter?
The commission guidelines for sanctions only cover one of these items, and that would be the harvesting oysters without an oyster resource user fee. However, given the severity of the situation, the number of convictions, and the specific details of the case, staff is recommending a two-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Ray's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, February 23, 2016, through February 22, 2018. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Ray's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. Ray's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this meeting, February 23, 2016, through February 22, 2018.
Mr. Ray, you've heard the staff recommendation. I'm going to give you another bite at the apple here. Is there anything you want the commission to know?
I'm not a habitual offender. I mean, I didn't mean to do no harm. I mean, I've got enough punishment. I mean, 5 years of probation. I mean, I don't have no prior convictions of this stuff. I mean, I need my license. I mean, put me on probation, I really do.
We'll see what the commission thinks.
I'm on probation. I mean, I'm on 5 years of probation, and you're a jail hanger. I've learned my lesson.
Commissioner, you've heard the testimony and you've heard the staff recommendation. What is your wish? Mr. Erskine.
Well, I guess I'd make a comment first, but this is a pretty severe and serious violation. You know, these oyster processing houses and have shucker packer permits from the State Health Department as well as FDA, and they're routinely inspected on a monthly basis, and for good reason. And I think this was multiple occasions, although you indicate it was not, did not have prior convictions associated with this, but it was multiple occasions that you actually sold quartz to an undercover officer So it doesn't lead me to believe that you had any respect for the industry that relies on its reputation.
I mean, I know the oysters that I was shucking was not polluted, contaminated. I mean, I knew they were coming from, you know, the right places. I mean,
do you a follow up, sir?
Mr. Erskine.
So I think in some of the written testimony that I saw here, there was an indication that you might have been sick prior to shucking, or actually sick while shucking some of these.
No.
And one of those, I'm not done for a second. So one of those issues is norovirus, which cannot be cooked out of an oyster. So we have to be very careful about processing when somebody's ill in an establishment that does have a permit from FDA and the health department. Those employees are removed. So they're not actually shucking oysters that day when they're ill. But it seems to me that you continued to shuck those and actually told the undercover officer, and the testimony was that you were pretty sick that day.
In October, I mean, I had pneumonia in October, and I lost 27 pounds. And, I was over it in November. I was back to work in November. I started working with Brian Dahlheim in November. From then on, you know, I mean, I was sick at the time. I only shucked a bushel a month at the most.
It takes one oyster to get someone sick.
Oh, I know. And like I said, I had tags for every oyster I brought home.
Mr. Prince.
Yeah, I have a question. It's not really for Mr. Ray, but maybe for law enforcement or staff or somebody can help me here. If somebody got a bushel of oysters and shucked them and gave them away, can they be charged? I just want a clarification on that.
Not for sale or barter.
Thank you.
Mr. Cedar.
I'm hearing this gentleman here talk about how many bushels a month that he would get, but, you know, from my view, if this was one sale of one quart of oysters, I'd agree with the guy, okay? But it ain't. It's, you know, several different times, and they're months apart. They're not, you know, somebody tells the officer, hey, this guy's selling some oysters out of his garage, and the undercover guy goes over and buys a quart, and I can't get out of my head the fact that you're telling this officer I could go to jail if they knew about it. And then, so that sticks in my head, and then he keeps coming back months after months after months, and you keep selling him those things, and the fact is that you're telling us you get so many bushels a month or whatever, so you have to do something with those bushels of oysters, so you sell those too?
Yeah, we're selling them off the bay. I mean, we sell them.
I'm talking about at your garage.
I only brought one bushel of oysters to the garage a month. I mean, this guy, he blowed my phone up with text messages and called me, wanting oysters and oysters. And I travel every weekend with my son, wrestling tournaments, man. I didn't have time and didn't even want to deal with it.
All right, let me ask you this question, if I may. Suppose this guy says, instead of oysters, I want cocaine. Would you go out there and buy cocaine?
No, sir.
Why?
That's illegal.
Well, you said it was illegal to sell these oysters.
Yeah, I did. You know, I know that.
No further questions.
Mr. Tackett.
First, I would say, what a great job these undercover fellows did. It seemed like they documented his illegal activity very well, and I think if there's ever been an open and shut case in my time here, this is it. You know, he says not only did he knowingly would go to jail if he was caught doing this, he then admits that he does shucked over 200 quarts of oysters. So if you multiply that by the amount money he gets, it, that's $8,000. He's not even paying tax on that. I mean, I don't know. How much longer do you want to go here? I make a motion to take staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Tackett. That's a two-year revocation with 2 years of license and fishing privileges revoked. Second by Mr. Erskine. Any discussion on the motion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. Mr. Ray, your licenses are revoked for the next 2 years, effective today, as are your title fishing privileges. If you go with the police chief here, he'll give you a letter that explains your appeal rights. You have a right to appeal the circuit court. Mr. Smita.
Next case is Mr. David E. Follet.
Mr. Follet is present. Please raise your right hand, sir. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record. Thank you, Mr. Follet. Officer Price.
Yes, sir. Mr. Follet resided at 1221 Pocosin Avenue in the city of Pocosin. During the undercover operation that the officer were involved with, Mr. Ray, on the 15th of January, one of the undercover agents observed Mr. Follett in front of his residence taking oysters out of a vehicle. There was two white 5-gallon buckets as well as a large green tote that had oysters in them. Based on that observation, the undercover officer just went up to Mr. Follett, didn't know who he was, just stopped to talk to him, asked him if he had oysters for sale, which time Mr. Follett stated he did. Mr. Follett stated he needed time to get them cleaned up and agreed to meet with the undercover officer at a later time that day to purchase one quart of oysters for $25. The undercover officer went back, purchased those oysters from Mr. Follett. During the conversation, one of the things was the undercover officer was trying to get a feel for how many oysters he was shucking. He asked him if he could do 25 quarts, and Mr. Follett stated he could, but he needed about 3 days' notice to do it. Follett agreed to meet with the agents at a later date as well. On January 21st, 2015, the undercover agent contacted Mr. Follett, and they agreed to one quart of oysters again for $25. The agent went to Mr. Follett's residence, where he met with Mr. Follett and purchased that one quart. They talked some more, but I don't think they were ever able to meet up anymore after that day. But Mr. Follett did tell the agent that he had three more quarts of oysters for sale inside the residence on the second date. Mr. Follett went to court the same day as Mr. Ray on September 21st, 2015. He was represented by Mr. Clancy, and he pled guilty to no certificate of inspection. He was charged with no certificate of inspection, failed to pay your oyster user fee, and failed to register as a commercial waterman on January 15th occasion. And on the 21st date, he was charged with failed to pay the oyster fee, failed to register as a commercial waterman, and no certificate of inspection. The guilty pleas were for failed to pay an oyster license fee, no certificate of inspection, and failed to register as a commercial waterman. Each of those carried a $500 fine. And that was all for Mr. Follett, just two occasions.
Any questions from the commission?
Yes.
Mr. Zedra.
On this conviction on September 21st, 2015 for, let me see here, did unlawfully shuck oysters at without a 215 PMRC oyster shucking license. Did he also not get 6 months in jail with 6 months suspended, conditioned on good behavior for a period of 3 years?
On the 21st conviction?
9/21/15. There's a. Okay. I have an abstract of conviction showing that.
I see. Now it's on the no. On the no paying the license. Oyster license fee.
Right.
Guilty 6 months with 6 months suspended.
Right, for condition 3 years.
3 years good behavior.
Good behavior. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Follett, this is your chance. What do you want the commission to know?
I just want to say I didn't know that I was doing anything wrong. Really. I swear to y'all I didn't. I can say I can get 25 cords. I can say I can get 100, but he only got two quarts, and that is minuscule compared to 25 quarts that I said I could get. I can say I can get anything that you want me to say. But what he got was two courts, and I've already paid my fines. I'm on 3 years probation already, and I don't plan on getting in any more trouble on this matter or any other matter. That's all I have to say.
The questions from the commission. Mr. Zegren.
Mr. Crawley, you're a good citizen, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
You tell the truth, don't you?
Yes.
And you're telling the truth today, right?
Yes, sir.
So when you told the undercover agent that you'd get him a quart of oysters, you felt like you could do it, right?
Yeah.
And then when he asked you again, could get him a quart? Well, let me just ask questions.
Okay.
And so when he came back to you again and said, hey, can you get me a quart of oysters, you in good faith says, yeah, I can get you an oyster, right? A quart of oysters, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think I was in trouble.
Okay, so here's the question. Question is, then when the undercover officer asks you for 25 quarts, you in good faith says, yeah, I can get them for you, but I need 3 days. Isn't that what you told him?
I did, okay. But it never happened.
Thank you.
So you can't persecute me on hearsay.
Thank you.
That's hearsay.
Mr. Follett, let me ask a couple questions here. Where did these oysters come from?
I picked them up.
Where'd you pick them up?
I picked them up at Fort Monroe.
You picked them up at Fort Monroe?
Yeah.
In Mill Creek?
Huh?
In Mill Creek?
Yes, sir.
On the backside of Fort Monroe?
Yes, sir.
You know that area is condemned, most of that area is condemned for the direct harvest of shellfish. It's polluted water.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Told the officer that you've been oystering all day, and that's what you meant. You were picking them up off the shoreline on Fort Monroe along Mill Creek.
Oh, yes, sir.
Wow. Okay. Any other questions from the commission? I got to tell you, I got to explain that. Those oysters make people very, very sick. And, in fact, people can die from that.
I didn't know what I was getting into. I did not know.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why people are licensed and they're inspected, and that's why there are permits required, so that they do know and they are professionals and they aren't risking people's lives. Well, you did risk people's lives. Any other questions from the commission? Is there anybody, Mr. Follett, that you would like to testify on your behalf?
No.
Mr. Cimino, what is the staff recommendation in this case?
Staff did not find any licenses or permits currently held by Mr. Follett. But, given the severity of the situation, the number of convictions, and specific details in this case, staff is recommending a 2-year revocation, in which that would include the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, or renewal of any of Mr. Follett's licenses during the revocation period. So in accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff's recommending a revocation of all Mr. Follett's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, February 23, 2016, through February 22, 2018. Staff also recommends the commission revoke Mr. Follett's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, February 23, 2016, through February 22, 2018.
Mr. Follett, let me explain that so that you fully understand the ramifications of this. There are no commercial fishing or recreational fishing licenses for this commission to revoke. However, state law allows the commission to revoke tidal fishing privileges, meaning that if you, while under revocation, go out there and do anything like this again, you drop a line just to catch fish recreationally with your son or your daughter, you're in violation. If you're in violation, you're eligible to be stood up in front of this commission, and you're eligible for a civil penalty of up to $10,000. So if this happens, the ramifications of ignoring this order are very significant.
I'm not trying to be a troublemaker.
I know, but I just want you to walk out the door here if this happens here, knowing what the ramifications are so that you don't end up back here again. Because I got to tell you, sir, nothing personal, but we would rather not see you back here again.
I know. So I can't work on the water at all, right?
If we revoke your privileges, correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Matters before the commission.
I move we accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Zedrin for a 2-year license and title fishing period revocation period starting effective today. Second by Mr. Tankard. Any discussion on the matter? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes. It passes unanimously. Mr. Follett, your licenses and title fishing privileges are revoked for 2 years.
Thank you.
You go with the officer, who will give you a letter that explains your appeal rights. Mr. Cimino.
Mr. Brian Eugene West.
Is Mr. Brian West in the room? There you go. Mr. West, let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record.
Brian West.
Okay, Mr. West. Officer Morris. What can you tell us about this case?
The board has been advised of a portion of this violation when you saw Mr. Rocky Ray last month. Mr. Rocky Ray was given a different outcome because he was the mate or the worker on board the boat that Mr. West was operating. Mr. West was the captain operator of that particular boat on the day that I found both of them working in the on public bottom, and actually charged them both with, I believe it was 6 charges, ranging from not having a sewage or a sanitation device on board. The bucket that they presented to me on that day was uncapped and unmarked and had peeler or hard crabs in water in that. And then it went on up to taking or theft of oysters from the public, as well as working a scrape or a dredge without a permit on the public bottom, which is a Class 6 felony. 5 of the charges were nullprossed in a plea agreement, and the 6th charge that he was that he pled guilty to was for taking oysters out of season. And this all occurred in the James River in the county of Isle of Wight. Mr. West was cooperative of a fashion while I was dealing with him and all the times that I've been dealing with him. I just offer that he was the captain operator of the boat and much more culpable than Mr. Ray was.
Questions from the commission?
Let me ask a question.
Mr. Zedrin.
I'm looking at this nullpros order. It says 3 charges of grand larceny. Were there 3 separate charges of larceny?
Well, it was theft of oysters, taking oysters without a permit, and then also, which would be tantamount to stealing them from the state of Virginia, from the public ground. Looking at that, it also had carrying dredge equipment on board without the permit, and the 2 general fishing violations, which are listed as regulations. One was the sanitary container, and another was an icing.
Follow-up question.
Mr. Zedrin.
Grand larceny, $200 or more value. So what was the value of the oysters that he had?
On that date, we counted the oysters. We actually, they refused to tub them up so that we could count them. So I had a crew of, the captain brought a crew of officers down to Menchville, and we actually shoveled up each bushel and counted them as we dumped them, and then we re-put them on the boat. I'm not exactly certain, but I believe it was, I know it was in excess of 30 bushels that day.
And normally what does a bushel go for?
At that time, it was somewhere around $40, but you could say $35 and be certain of what you were covering.
And that's why you brought the grand larceny charges?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. West, what would you like the commission to know?
Really, nothing I can say. We've gone wrong, we're convicted, that's it.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Zedra.
30 bushels is quite a bit, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, we had 21 bushels. We were getting $20 a bushel.
Okay. So at $20 a bushel and you had 30 bushels, that's what?
21 bushels is what we had.
Okay, that's over $600?
400.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's $420.
Okay. I'm going to say this. You had a great attorney. I don't know who he was, but for these grand larceny charges, they carry a minimum sentence of 12 months in jail and or $2,500 fine, either or both, and up to 20 years in the penitentiary. So you were looking at 60 years in the penitentiary on these charges. So you had a great attorney there. And I think that talks about the magnitude of the conduct and the offense that you did on that day, not the fact that you got a plea agreement to a misdemeanor and got a real good deal. Did you know what you were doing was wrong?
No, not at the time. The ground was stuck up. We were inside the poles.
Well, I noticed in October 1st of 2013, you had a charge of failure to tag 21 bushels of oysters. Is that correct? So you dispute that?
I dispute that.
Did you also have a conviction on March 24, 2010 of fishing gill net without a license? Okay.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Smino, what's the staff recommendation in this case?
This does go back to the guidelines of the commission. So the commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters during a closed public season within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. West's license to catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 23, 2016, through February 22, 2017. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. West's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. West's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this meeting, February 23, 2016, through February 22, 2017.
Mr. West, you've heard the staff recommendation. Do you have any reaction to that or something you want the commission to know?
I'd ask the commission not to suspend my license. I mean, probation would be. I got a lot of people depend on me in the summer months fishing. I got six other people in crews, got families. That's all I got to say.
Well, matters before the commission. You've heard the testimony and you've heard the staff recommendation. What's the will of the commission?
Can I ask a question?
Mr. Erskine.
Mr. West, you indicated in your testimony that the ground was stuck up and you were inside the poles.
Yes, it was.
And what poles would that be referring to?
The corner markers on the private ground.
So you claim that you were on private ground?
Yes.
Okay. Can I ask a follow-up question?
Yes, you may. If you don't, I will.
How far inside or off the line was this area? Was there private ground there, and was there a dredge permit?
He had a dredge permit for Mr. Burton's ground, which was outside to the east of the public ground, which is inside to shoreward. And he was well outside of the Burton ground for the entire 45 minutes that my partner and I watched him. We ascertained this because there was a crab pot buoy, or possibly it was a marker buoy. Sometimes watermen use those. And it remained out there until they got ready to leave the ground. At the time they were leaving, I called in one of the other boats that was standing by. They caught him and escorted him to Menchville. And we went out and verified that working around that buoy was, I can't remember now, but it was something like 80 or 90 feet into the public, easily visible with the naked eye or with aid of binoculars or spotting scope. And we watched this for 45 minutes at least.
Mr. Erskine.
So I guess this question might be for Mr. West. Who would you indicate stuck the ground? When you say it was private ground, you were under the impression it was private ground, and the poles were up there, you were inside the poles.
J.C. Burton, as far as I know, stuck the ground.
Mr. Erskine.
So do you have something from Mr. Burton that says I stuck the ground and the people I contracted and got a dredge permit for that were working inside that area?
I mean, it's his private ground. He can get permits for people to work it. That's all I know. The poles were there. He said stay inside the poles. That's what we did. It's five lines of crab pots running across there. How can you pick one single crab pot out? He was a mile away. The other boat, I seen the boat on the point, which was three-quarters of a mile away. How could he pinpoint one crab pot buoy with five lines? Cannot be done. Cannot be done.
Mr. Zetron.
If this is what happened, did Mr. Burton come to you with district court and testify to the court that he gave you permission to use that ground and you weren't his ground?
I had permits to work that ground for Mr. Burton.
That wasn't the question. The question was, did Mr. Burton come to district court and testify on your behalf that he, in fact, gave you permission and you were, in fact, within his area?
He would have.
But he didn't.
I didn't subpoena this, sir.
Okay.
Mrs. Kell.
Question for Officer Morris. Did you see the four stakes that he is referring to?
You talking about the five lines and crab pots?
No, the four stakes that he says he was working with.
There
within.
Was numerous stakes to his east and to his south. The ground makes a corner in the area where he was working. He was the only boat in that area. The other boats that were working for Burton were staying in Burton's ground. And they were on the far side so that every time they passed a stake, the stake would pass between myself and my partner and that boat, or the boat would pass with the stake interposed. That's one of the ways that we determine a violation is if we see the stakes clearly as the boat passes them, it means they're on the far side of the stake, probably in the good. If the stake disappears when the boat passes the stake, means they're on my side of the stake and probably in the bad area.
Thank you.
I got a question for you. Officers, your record indicate, I asked Mr. West about this conviction on October 1st, 2013, failure to tag 21 bushels of oysters. Is that what your records reflect?
That was another officer, I believe, but I believe that was what I saw in his record. Yeah. Was it listed that I was the officer?
No, Mr. West said that he doesn't remember that, and he's shaking his head right now. I'm asking you, is that a fact, or is that, we got somebody?
I'm sure that the officer that charged him with it would.
Officer Ramsey?
That was Officer Ramsey, Brad Ramsey, and that was in jurisdiction. That was Westmoreland County. So that was away from my jurisdiction. But that would reflect a court record from Westmoreland in the adjudication date of 2013.
Mr. Zito.
For the record, I would like to read to the record the Virginia Marine Resources Commission, Virginia Marine Police summons report, summons number 117698, category oysters, statute 28.2201, failure to tag oysters 21 bushels, Brian Eugene West, date of birth September 16, 1980, address post office box 273, Achilles, Virginia, hair brown, 5'9", weight 200 pounds, eyes green, Officer Ramsey, and ruling was guilty on 11-19-2013. Thank you.
The record so reflects. Are there other questions from the commission? Mr. Cimino. What is the staff recommendation in this case?
Again, staff's recommending, sorry, start from the beginning. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. West's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 23, 2016, through February 22, 2017. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. West's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. West's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 23, 2016, through February 22, 2017.
Mr. West, you heard the staff recommendation. The recommendation is to revoke your licenses and your tidal fishing privileges for a year. Do you have a reaction or something you want to tell the commission about that?
Yeah, just let the commission know. I mean, put me on probation. Give me a chance. You know, made a mistake. I paid for my mistake. You know.
Matters before the commission. Mr. Zetron.
You know, when I see numbers like this, like 21 bushels of oysters, and I think Mr. West just told me that on that boat that they're talking about, he had 21 bushels of oysters there. The officer said he had 30 bushels. You know, if we're talking about a bushel or something like that, you know, even though it's a violation, a technical violation, I could, you know, understand what where he's coming from, but you know, 21 bushels of oysters is a lot of oysters, and I can't believe that Mr. West did not remember this guilty finding in October 1st of 2013. It tells me that maybe it didn't mean that much to him, and so we have got to you know, look after the industry, and you know, in doing that, we're looking after the people who work for you as well. So based on that, we need to send him a message and say, hey, this is real, and we're going to really take it serious. So I would move to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Zetron for a one-year revocation of licenses and tidal fishing privileges. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Kellum. Is there a discussion on the motion? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. Mr. West, if you go with the officer, he'll give you a letter explaining your appeal rights. Love your work on YouTube.
Yep.
Mr. Cimino, is there another case today?
Mr. Tommy S. Belvin.
Mr. Tommy Belvin. Mr. Belvin, I'm going to swear you in here. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Pertains to you as well, Officer West. Officer West, what can you tell us about this case?
Yes, sir. This case took place in August of 2015, and I'll give you a brief summary of what happened.
On Sunday, August 30th, 2015, at approximately 1,100 hours, I was on patrol in the area of the York River conducting inspections on commercial crab pots. First line of crab pots I came to were buoys marked with red and yellow paint. I started in the middle of the crab pot line, and the first crab pot I pulled had C3049 as identification number. When I pulled the crab pot, I noticed that it didn't have any coal rings located on the pot. At this point, I contacted Virginia Marine Resources Operations and had them run the identification number on the pot. The MRC number came back to Mr. Tommy Sands Belvin. Once I discovered a violation on the first crab pot, I began to pull other crab pots that were marked with red and yellow paint and had the same number, C3049. I followed the line of crab pots and found several more violations of Mr. Belvin's pots. Violations included crab pots without numbers, crab pots with multiple numbers, and crab pots with the wrong size coal rings. I seized 11 pots that were in violation on August 30th, 2015. On Monday, August 31st, 2015, at approximately 0650 hours, I continued my investigation with Mr. Belvin's crab pots. Knowing that Mr. Belvin had more than just one line of crab pots, that led me to search for his other pots. After finding Mr. Belvin's second line of crab pots, I began checking his gear. I pulled several more crab pots and found numerous violations. The violations included the crab pots with no coal rings, crab pots with no identification numbers, and crab pots with multiple numbers. Roughly 44 crab pots were pulled and checked, and 17 were found to be in violation. When I went to speak with Mr. Belvin, I questioned about the color of his crab pots. Mr. Belvin stated that his pots were marked with red and yellow paint and had the MRC number 3049 on them. I asked Mr. Belvin what his number was, and he said it was 3049. I then asked Mr. Belvin to explain why some of his crab pots did not have the proper identification numbers on them and why some of his pots had no numbers on them. Mr. Belvin explained that using some old buoys that he may have missed some buoys and he may not have removed existing numbers that may have been located on them. He made the comment that some of the buoys were old and were not properly marked. I explained to Mr. Belvin that his gear needed to have the proper identification numbers on them to be in compliance with our regulations. He understood. And he said he was going to be taking care of his gear soon. After talking to Mr. Belvin about the gear not being properly marked, I asked him why some of his crab pots did not have coal rings in them. Mr. Belvin explained that he did not have the money to purchase the coal rings, and he was going to put the coal rings on the pots when he went back out to harvest his gear the next day. I explained to Mr. Belvin that the pots needed two coal rings in his crab pots and needed to be the correct size. Mr. Belvin said he understood and he was going to put the coal rings in his pots, but the pots I had seized before he could get the problem fixed. I also asked Mr. Belvin why some of his pots had the wrong size coal rings. He stated that maybe some of the old coal rings had got mixed up with some of the new coal rings. Mr. Belvin was served with 7 summons for violations I found with his crab pots.
What were the disposition of those 7 summonses?
All guilty charges out of York County.
Mrs. Cohen.
And his attitude towards you when you approached him?
Very cordial, very polite.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Which friends?
Officer West.
Yes, sir.
So you checked his crab pots. I mean, did every one you went to have no coal rings, or was it, one here, one there?
It had varied. I believe there were certain points where I found, like, maybe 3, then one was in compliance. Then I'd find one without a number. Then I'd find a buoy with multiple numbers, and one would be correct. So it took 2 days of investigation work on the boat to pull and find the violations.
Follow-up question?
Mr. France.
Yes, does he have any other crab licenses in any other jurisdiction?
Yes, he had a 1999 possession of undersized male crabs out of York County, which was guilty.
I'm sorry, maybe you didn't understand the question. Any other license in any other jurisdiction?
Not that I know of.
Oh, thank you.
Are there other questions from the commission? Mr. Zeter.
What is the correct, at this time, what was the correct size for the coal ring?
Without looking at the regulation, I couldn't tell you. I had a gauge that we had taken out that day that I keep in a bag when we do inspections.
2 coal rings.
That's correct.
I'd been my guess was 2 3/8.
2 3/8, 2 coal rings per pot.
I got to follow up. How is the industry notified of these changes? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's in the regulation what size the coal rings have to be and for the crab pots to be in compliance.
I can help clarify that a bit, Mr. Cedrin. 2008, the commission did take some measures here for crab conservation and changed the size of the cull rings to make them a little larger. So any cull rings that are used today have been left over and been around since before 2008. Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Belvin, this is your chance to tell the commission what they need to know, what you'd like them to know.
Well, I can tell you that the cull rings, I never had the money for them, I'll be honest with you, and I'm sorry for that. That's something I should have took care of, but it's the other stuff, that, like the birds and stuff. So I had two young boys in the yard, and they were supposed to take care of all that for me. I never noticed it. By my fault, I'll take responsibility for that, too. I should have noticed it before I put them on my truck or whatever, you know. And I went and sat them, and I was trying to get them over before 2 o'clock, because that's the deadline, you know, for it to set them. You got to quit by the end or whatever. So I didn't know nothing but what to do, man. I done all I knew to do. I can't afford to lose my car. If I lose my car, I lose my home, my truck, my everything, man. I mean, I didn't do nothing violent, and I'm fully sorry for what I did. I knew what it was wrong, and I take full responsibility for everything. But I didn't mean no harm or nothing either way, and I mean, I wasn't hurting nobody. I was just trying to make $100 to pay my motel rent, to tell you the jaw of the truth, so I won't get run out the next day. That was the deal of what was going on. And I had a girlfriend and two little girls with me, man. I had to take care of them some kind of way. So that's what I did, and I'm sorry for that. I knew I made a mistake. But this is the first time this has ever happened to me, and this will be the last time. I promise, and I'll show you now on whatever goes on my truck, I'll check myself, and I knew they'd be right. I mean, I knew I should have did it then, but I didn't. And I let them put it on the truck and put it on the boat, and all I done was run out there and we threw them overboard.
I believe Mrs.
Anything I done wrong.
I believe Mrs. Kellum has a question for you here.
Have you corrected the problem with your buoys?
I ain't crabbed since, babe.
I'm sorry?
I haven't crabbed since then.
So they haven't...
It's getting time for to do it now. Yes, ma'am, I will correct the 40 over go aboard again. I'll promise you that, because it's time to work on them again. Aqua season starts next month, you know.
Those pots were seized, and they haven't been returned yet because it's also part of another case in York County involving Mr. Bell.
Thank you.
Mr. Zedrin.
You got several hundred dollars in fines for this.
I got $800 fines for the bud and whatever.
Have you paid the fines?
No, sir, not yet.
You're on time payment?
I'm paying it, yes, sir.
How much does a cull ring cost?
Oh, it is a dollar a piece, babe.
You think you're a little bit, a lot of fine here for something that costs a dollar, isn't it?
I understand that, sir. But I didn't have it at the time.
Well, do you have them now?
What?
The cull rings.
Yes, sir. I had them when I went back to put my pot that Monday, like he said, but my pot was gone, so I couldn't put them in there.
Did you tell him that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Belvin, is there anybody you have with you here today that you wish to testify on your behalf?
Yes, she can testify. But
if you want her to, we're happy to hear from her. It's up to you. I have to swear again. Do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record.
Helena Jenkins.
Helena, what would you like to tell us?
Said there. We were at the time, we had lost our home and we ran a motel. They and my two kids had been there for like 5 months. At that time, we put brand new crab pots over. We made them in the motel room and put them over. It was like 11, I believe he said we had no crab pot, no cull rings. We went that Sunday, that Monday morning, left early to get to Edward King's to get them, and he beat us out there Sunday and Monday morning. So by the time we got it in Monday morning to pull them up fishing, put them on, at that time, they were gone. So we did try to correct the problem that we buried. Very next day, but he was just brought to their attention a minute before us. He did take it up and he's got the stuff to fix him when it's time to go back, but we haven't worked since then.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Zedrin.
Tell me what you use to install a cull ring on a crab pipe.
The cull ring, the little pig rings, and the pliers to cut the hole to put them there.
Okay.
But we didn't have the coil rings when we put the crab pots together. We had the wire and stuff, but we didn't have the coil rings.
Okay,
it was more my decision to tell him, we got to put them over. We need the money. If not, we're going up the doors. So it took a chance. I take responsibility on that. But that morning when we had the coil rings to go and pull the pot up to put it in, the pots had already been seized.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, matters before the commission for discussion and action. Oh, first we need to hear staff recommendations. I corrected my own self.
This is within the guidelines for sanctions and falls within what we were calling a resource violation. The commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that two convictions of unobstructed call rings within a 24-month period should result in at least a two-year probation. Given the numerous violations, including the Class 1 misdemeanors, staff is recommending a one-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Belvin's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 23, 2016, through February 22, 2017. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Belvin's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. Belvin's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 23, 2016, February 22, 2017.
Mr. Seaborn.
Mr. Pino, has this individual, Mr. Blevin, has he ever been on probation before?
Not that I'm aware of, sir. Not under the most recent version of our sanctions.
Follow-up question. But for the numerous violations that occurred at this one time, would the staff recommendation be the same as it is right now? Say he had one conviction.
Well, there are also previous violations dealing with the crab as a resource, so it's habitual in that sense.
Okay, let me just ask a question again. Suppose he had one conviction on his last batch instead of all these convictions. Would the staff recommendation been the same as it is right now, considering what you just said, the prior convictions? Or would you have recommended probation?
It's not done on an individual basis, so I don't know that I can answer for all of staff on how we would come to that decision necessarily.
That's fair. Thank you.
Mrs. Kellum.
I think unlike the previous four cases, I feel personally like this is more a probation issue than a revocation.
I agree.
I agree as well. Mr. Neal.
I guess a legal question. Am I allowed to ask the officer what the other pending violations in York County are?
Can't go on.
Right. This is for the officer. You mentioned you still have this crab pots because there's more to come.
Yes, sir.
And so what is that?
Can you answer that?
It's a larceny case that involves some stolen crab pots. Is what it is. It's set for March 21st in York County.
Thank you.
Let me follow up with that.
This is
are these the crab pots that you have of his? Or I'll rephrase that question. Are these the pots that were seized subject to his investigation?
Yes. During the investigation of Mr. Belvin's pots, there were several pots found with information that could be that led us to believe they were stolen crab pots. Identification marks, call rings in certain locations, buoys with other MRC numbers on them, stuff like that. He has been charged, but he has not gone to trial yet.
Thank you.
I would counsel that should have nothing to do with this at this point. We're not the trier of facts in that case. Right. That's a separate court action. And if indeed there's a conviction on that, Mr. Belvin will be back here on another matter.
I guess if I could even ask the question.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't bring it up. I didn't think it was important.
Yeah. No, I've seen some heads nod about the idea of probation here. I got to say, I would concur with that here, but there's a couple things that I'd like to stress to Mr. Belvin about this. You've heard Mr. Zedron mention that the cost of this, the court cost of this, far outstrips the cost of the actual call ring. So to that end, it was poor financial planning on your part.
Agree with you, me.
I want you to understand here, do you, well, let me ask, do you understand why there are cull rings that we require in the crab pots? We need the little crabs to escape so they grow to be bigger crabs so they can be parents so that the next year we're going to have a better class of stock. We don't require these things just willy-nilly. We need your ID number on them so we know that they're yours. They need to have numbers on them. They need to have one number on them, not multiple numbers.
I had two little boys are doing this for me in the yard, and I'll take responsibility for it. They didn't know what they were doing to me, so I'll take that responsibility among myself.
Well, you are taking responsibility.
I should have checked on what I did. I mean, you know.
Mr. Belvin, what I'm saying here is that if the commission ends up putting you on probation here, they're giving you a second chance. And it is incumbent upon you to ensure that you have everything absolutely correct. Because you don't want to be back here, and we don't want to see you back here any more than you're going to want to be back here. So if we end up with a probationary period here, I'm counseling you that this is a very large wake-up call. Because if you're
on me, I promise you, whatever goes on my boot again, it'll be legal and right. Or it won't go. I promise you that.
Well, matters before the commission. Mr. Zedra.
I think the fact that he's got over $800 in fines with the court is a big thing. I think that another big thing for me is that he hasn't been on probation before. And so, and this being what it is, I mean, it's very important, and the call rings. And that's why I asked the question of the witness. They tell us, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And that's why I asked her, tell me how you do it. Tell me what kind of instruments you need to put it on. And she told the right answer. And so that means a lot to me. And for that reason, I would move to put Mr. Bevin here on 2 years probation instead of a year revocation.
I second it.
That's a motion by Mr. Zetron and a second by Mr. Minor. Discussion on the motion. Mr. Tankard.
I certainly sympathize and understand what the motion pertains to. However, this is, a premeditated action taken to subvert the law. And perhaps there was great need, but as you mentioned in your motion, that it was a very low-cost decision. So I wouldn't support it. I feel like this is something they did on purpose, and we've got an industry that needs to have people who don't obey the law taken out, and this is an example of that.
I hear Mr. Tankard here, and I agree with 99% of what he says on this matter here. I will support this motion here for a probationary period here, but Mr. Belvin, I need to just, for my own sake here, make sure you utterly understand. The pots have to be absolutely squeaky clean legitimate, not a violation of any sort. There can be no more of these previous violations, such as undersized crabs. Don't do it. Don't put them in the don't put the pots in the channel. Take the pots out at the end of the season, because you had that charge back in 2013. We don't want to see you back here, and if you come back here, the outcome is going to be vastly different, I would imagine, than what you're going to get today. So this is a big wake-up call. Anybody else have a comment? So we have a motion and a second to put Mr. Belvin on probation for 2 years effective today. I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
No by Mr. Tankard. The chair votes aye. Mr. Belvin, the motion passes. You're on probation for 2 years today. It's your lucky day. We do not want to see you back here. Thank you, Officer West. Any other cases, Mr. Cimino?
No, sir.
Okay.